Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Leskin broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. And on this rainy, ugly, cold Seattle day, I have two wonderful gentlemen on the phone with me, Dennis Wagner and Kevin Wirth, who are both very involved with the Access Research Network. That's www.arn.org. Access Research Network is one of the oldest, I would say, intelligent design organizations. It's basically an online storehouse of information on intelligent design, as well as having a wonderful online store where you can buy just about any book or video or other resource related to intelligent design and evolution. So, Dennis and Kevin, it's great to have you guys on our show with us today.
Well, thank you, Casey. I'm sorry to hear it's rainy and gloomy in Seattle. It's sunny and clear here in Colorado, and I'm looking out my window at Pikes Peak, too bad for you Seattle guys. That's all I have to say.
Well, I think I'd rather be at Pikes Peak than Pikes Place today, so...
That's right.
Well, Casey, this is Kevin. I'm here in the Seattle suburbs sharing with your misery, but it's great to be on this program with you.
Okay, sounds good. The reason I wanted to interview you guys is because ARN every year comes out with the top 10 Darwin and design news stories for the previous year. And this being the new year, ARN, Access Research Network, just came out with the top 10 news stories for Darwin design for 2007. And I understand that these news stories that you guys have picked are supposed to represent trends that you saw in the debate over evolution in 2007. And these aren't necessarily just news stories. These are nationwide events or scientific papers that have been published or new discoveries that have been made. So really, these are the top 10 events, in a way, of 2007 for Darwin design, in your opinion. And I'd like to give you guys a chance to explain to our listeners what the top 10 stories were for 2007 and what this is all about. So I'll let you guys do the talking here, but what interested me most is obviously some very exciting scientific discoveries that were made in 2007, and talking about how the more that we dive into biological systems, the more complexity and evidence for design that we find. What are some of the new stories that happened that took place in 2007 that fit under that category?
Well, Casey, this is Dennis. One of the articles I was really excited about was one that came out in February in Chemical and Engineering News. It talked about the ribosome as a protein factory. And, of course, we all know that a factory is a machine or a machine-like process. And just a decade ago, the ribosome was kind of this unknown biological structure. And this article in Chemical and Engineering News called it the most important molecular machine in living cells. And over the past decade, we've really understood a lot more of what the ribosome does. And basically, it's the duplicator. It's a protein factory. It reads the message, DNA's message that's encoded on the messenger RNA, and it cranks out a limitless number of proteins. The article uses the analogy of a DVD player. And they said the ribosome is kind of like a DVD player, and it can translate the digital data on, you know, millions of plastic discs in the movies. And
wow.
So the ribosome is the same kind of a machine. And so the deeper we're diving down into biological systems and the more we're understanding about this, the more machine-like and the less random life looks at that level.
That's really amazing.
There was a second article, actually several of them, that appeared in Science News and genomic research that talked about the level of the complexity of the cell is shocking scientists. You know, they just spent, you know, a decade mapping out the human genome and understanding the full sequence of the 3 billion DNA letters folded into every cell. And now that they find out that there's important information between the genes, in fact, that may be more important for understanding human disease and things like that than the actual genes themselves. And so the areas of the molecule that were previously considered junk DNA by evolutionists, just saying this is left over from our evolutionary process, now turns out to have more important sign in biological systems.
And I know that we've talked about junk DNA here in the past on the ID of the Future podcast and also talked about it a lot on evolutionnews.org. And I very much agree with you, Dennis, that junk DNA, I think, will be looked upon as one of the biggest findings in biology of the year of 2007. It really transformed the paradigm that our DNA is largely junk, And this junk DNA paradigm, as you are well aware, was basically born and bred out of the neo-Darwinian paradigm. So this has really turned out to be a very false prediction of neo-Darwinism. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I call it the Darwinian argument from ignorance. In other words, we don't know what this stuff is. Therefore, it must be junk and leftover from evolution. And you know that's not really something that motivates further research. Trying to look at the whole system as something that was designed and engineered and understanding its purpose, that motivates research. So in this case, I think the intelligent design model really offers more of a research paradigm than the evolutionary model does.
What other were some of the scientific finds that took place in 2007?
Well, Casey, this is Kevin. There was another one that we kind of liked that was about some jellyfish fossil finds in Utah that were dated approximately 500 million years old. This is about, I think, 200 million years older than any of the previously discovered jellyfish. And, of course, they were discovered to be essentially the same as modern jellyfish. This pushes back the development, or actually the appearance, of jellyfish, like I said, about 200 million years, according to the standard geologic timescale. But what this does is it presents a really severe challenge to those who claim that life evolved solely by random mutations and natural selection. Eugene Koonin, who's a senior research scientist at the National Center for Biotechnology Information, and he published a paper that claims that relationships between major groups within an emergent new class of biological entities are hard to decipher and do not seem to fit the tree pattern that, following Darwin's original proposal, remains the dominant description of biological evolution. And that paper, by the way, is entitled The Biological Big Bang Model for the Major Transitions in Evolution. Kind of reinforcing the growing criticism of Darwin's Tree of Life, there's a guy named W. Ford Doolittle and another guy named Eric Baptiste. They're from the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology at Dalhousie University in Canada. They published a discussion paper suggesting it's time to give up on Darwin's Tree of Life prediction because it doesn't fit the data.
That's a pretty groundbreaking finding, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but you know, we get stuff that pop up like this every now and again, but I think it's just really good to remind your listeners that here's just another one of those instances that kind of pops up and then fades away into the sunset, never to be discussed again.
Sure.
I hope that Darwinists don't forget this, and they do continue the discussion and keep it in the news.
It's very easy to forget history and to forget evidence that challenges your paradigm and sort of just ignore it. And I think it's important. What you guys are doing is making sure that people don't forget about some of these discoveries that challenge neo-Darwinism. What about any books that were published in 2007? Were there any books that came out that you considered to be major events?
Yeah, in fact, we have a separate whole list on our top 10 Darwin and Design resources, but the one that we included on the news side that we thought was the most significant was Mike Behe's book, The Edge of Evolution, The Search for the Limits of Darwinism. And as you know, Mike Behe published one of the books that got the ID movement kickstarted in Darwin's Black Box. He's a biochemist from Lehigh University. And this particular book, he's gone and looked at all of the scientific evidence for evolution, looking at all the, you know, the generations of studies that we've done on bacterias and, you know, because in the laboratory now, where we can do hundreds and thousands of generations of some of these microbes, it's easy to see what evolution can and can't do. And so he's tried to document from all the scientific literature what is it that evolution can really do. And he calls that the edge of evolution. In other words, how far can evolution really go in changing biological systems? So his conclusion was that very little of biological life can be explained by random mutations, that there are changes, we can force changes, but random mutations in biological systems can really do very little. And so that's the thought that random mutations plus natural selections can take a molecule to a man, I think is not panning out in the science laboratory.
Dennis, you mentioned that you had a list of top 10 resources from 2007. Where can our listeners go and find those online?
Yeah, just go to our website, arn.org, and we have a link there to the top 10 news stories and the top 10 Darwin and Design resource list. In addition to Behe's book, The Design of Life came out, which is a great textbook by Dembski and Wells. The Design Matrix by Mike Jean is another one we recommend. Explore Evolution, which Discovery Institute came out, I think is a great one for helping students really understand what evolution can and can't do. the difference between microevolution, macroevolution. The spiritual brain was another interesting one that took a look at, can the functions of the brain really be explained by material processes, or is there something else going on? So those are the top five on our list, but we got 10 listed there people can go look at.
Okay, great. You know, I think that we're running out of time for this podcast, but we're going to come back with Kevin Wirth and Dennis Wagner from the Access Research Network and finish up talking about the top 10 news stories from 2007. Thank you guys very much for being on our show.
Thank you, Casey.
Hey, you bet, Casey.
This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast. Stay tuned for more on the top 10 news stories from 2007.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.